This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Welcome back to the Reporters Roundtable. Today I'm talking to Eddie Escobedo. He's the founder and publisher of El Mundo newspaper in Las Vegas, Nevada. Sean Gonzalez is a reporter for the Cape Cod Times, and Bob Butler is a reporter for KCBS Radio in San Francisco. Let's just pick up where we left off. I want to transition to a topic that is related to some of the national issues that got discussed in this debate. You have New York Governor Eliot Spitzer reversing his controversial plan to provide undocumented workers with driver's licenses. He said it would improve public safety. He got an endorsement from New York Senator Hillary Clinton. Since then, both elected officials have backed off and said that they do not support licenses for undocumented workers. Bob, what do you think is going to be the fallout of this kind of a reversal, particularly for the senator?
Well, I think more than anything else, it takes me back to John Kerry and his reputation as being somebody who flip-flopped a lot. You know, that was exploited quite expertly by Karl Rove, and now Rove may not be involved with this campaign, but there must be other people that studied under him that may do the same thing and point out, well, you can't really count on her because she changes her mind too much.
So, Eddie, do you think that this is an issue that is going to impact the national debate over undocumented workers?
Without a doubt, and definitely the reason why Senator Clinton goes along with the New York governor is because the Democratic Party is at stake. And it was a good thing for her to follow the footsteps of the governor, because otherwise it would have been a controversy, and the GOP would have attacked the Democrats regarding that particular issue. And that particular issue is not going to die until a new immigration reform bill will pass, or we just have to wait till a new president comes in.
Sean, when you take a look at this issue, how is it playing? Cape Cod is fairly remote from Nevada. How is it playing out for you?
This is an area that is, immigration is a huge issue here. Primarily because the economy here is primarily a seasonal economy and quite a few service jobs. And so there's a number of immigrant workers here, from Brazilians to Eastern Europeans. And so it's always a hot issue. But in here, just like across the country, it's sort of divided by sort of the pragmatic approach, which I think is what this licensing issue is attempting to address it from a pragmatic standpoint of view. And then there's sort of the ideological position, which is, we've got to shut down the borders. We've got to, kick all the illegal immigrants out. But I think, more pragmatically speaking, and I think this is what Obama was trying to convey in some way, is from a realistic standpoint of view, at least for the foreseeable future, I don't see how you're going to boot out every illegal immigrant anytime soon, if in fact that would even be a desirable thing to do. So, very much here in this area, it's a hot issue, and it tends to fall on the side of shutting down the borders. In fact, we've had a few people out from Massachusetts who call themselves, the Minutemen, and who have even volunteered to join these militias and go down to the borders. And so the rhetoric is so heated that it's very difficult to have a good conversation about it. It's kind of like the Palestinian-Israeli situation. It's one of those issues right now that seems intractable almost.
Bob, let's move on to Barry Bonds. He was indicted by a U.S. grand jury because of his alleged use of steroids. He says he never knowingly used performance-enhancing drugs. He could face up to 30 years imprisonment, steep fines. Does that potential punishment fit the crime, if there was one?
Well, the Bond situation is so strange because at the time he's accused of using steroids, steroids were not banned by Major League Baseball. People say they were against the law, but athletes have gotten away with this kind of stuff for many, many, many years. And we've learned that a lot of other people here have been using steroids too. Whether or not he faces 30 years in prison, that's debatable. He has no other criminal record. I don't know that he'll face that much time. I think the question really is, why Barry Bonds? Why is it all of a sudden that Barry Bonds is the poster child for steroids use? I don't have an answer to that question, but I think there's a lot of trouble. A lot of people have been calling talk radio shows here saying, we don't care. We don't care. The guy's an athlete. He used steroids. So what? He's in trouble because the U.S. attorney says, we asked him point blank if he used him. He said no, and we have evidence to say that he was lying. Well, that's going to go to court. We'll see what happens when it goes to court.
Eddie, do you think that if he's convicted, he can kiss that home run record goodbye?
I don't think they are going to. That record is going to stay there forever because he did it the way every other ball player have done it. And as the previous gentleman says, that record has been used by others, by other players. However, none of them has been punished as Bonds. And why Bonds? Why? Because the reason, his name was in every paper, his name was on every radio talk show, on every TV show, and definitely, who are you going to pick? The guy that's on top. Same thing that they're doing on the political world. Who are they attacking? The leader. And definitely, Bonds has been the leader, and that's the reason why they go after him. Whether he gets convicted, even if it is convicted, their record will remain forever.
Sean, do you agree? Do you think that it's not going to be wiped off the face of the history books?
I wouldn't be so confident because, and I'm like these previous guests have mentioned, you know, I'm a baseball fanatic. I love baseball. Loved it my whole life. I've played baseball most of my life. I have a young son that I hope will play like the sport as well. But I've always been just perplexed at why it seems like this narrow focus has been on Barry Bonds. But listen, the way they've gone after Barry and everything, I wouldn't be surprised, particularly since Pete Rose has been banned from baseball. I would not be surprised. In fact, I would think it's more than likely that that baseball will probably err on the side of banning. Now, what that means for his records, I don't know that. But It for me, I've never been quite able to figure out why this focus has been almost solely on Barry Bonds, given, you know, I've got a number of questions. Are smaller ballparks, you know, for me, I am not even a believer necessarily that steroids is a performance-enhancing drug in baseball. In more physical sports like football, I can see it. Baseball, hitting a baseball, and these kind of things are so difficult, I'm just not convinced that it matters that much, and I think a lot of fans feel the same way.
Bob, before we let all three of you go, I want you to just tell us a little bit about Chauncey Bailey. He was honored at a California Fallen Journalist Memorial Wall, murdered in August while covering criminal allegations surrounding a Muslim bakery in Oakland. What were people saying about him as a person and as a reporter?
Well, I was at this at Cal State Northridge at the ceremony, and what I was telling people was basically what the kind of a person and the kind of journalist Chauncey was. Chauncey was the kind of journalist that we all know him, the guy that's at every event, always asked the first question. In fact, his boss called him the Helen Thomas of Bay Area journalists. And if you didn't answer the question, he was the guy that would ask for a follow-up. And if you didn't answer the question after the follow-up, he'd get you outside to get you to answer the question. That's how he was as a journalist. As a person, you know, he started a elementary school newspaper in Detroit when he was there working for the Detroit News. And essentially what he did was said, okay, these kids aren't reading the newspaper, so I'm going to start a newspaper at the school. And he would take it home. He'd have the kids put their papers into a box, their stories into a box. He would take the box home at night on a Wednesday night and would edit the newspapers on his typewriter. And then Thursday would print them out and take them to the school on Friday. The kid would read the newspaper. He would also bring newspapers on the bus on his way to work because he said he saw people sitting there not doing anything but staring out the window. So he brought newspapers to them so they could read. The guy really cared about learning and education. He cared about people. And I've had people here in the Bay Area say he was not, you know, a hero of the black community. He was a champion for the black community. He really cared.
Bob, we're going to have to end it there, but we are certainly going to keep following this story. Gentlemen, thank you all so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you, ma'am.
So we've been speaking with Bob Butler, a reporter for KCBS Radio in San Francisco, also a reporter with the Chauncey Bailey Project. That's a journalist collective dedicated to investigating Bailey's death. Also, Eddie Escobedo, founder and publisher of El Mundo newspaper in Las Vegas, Nevada, and Sean Gonzalez, a reporter for the Cape Cod Times.